Welcome to Folk Roots Radio. I'm Jan Hall. Singer-songwriter David Story spent 25 years working as a video and TV director and producer, including working on the hit comedy series Corner Gas, before returning to his first love, music. His latest album, appropriately titled Coming Home, was released earlier this year and features 9 semi-biographical songs about life, relationships, the big picture, and the challenges we all face, all delivered with empathy and a wry humor. David Story joined us in the studio to chat about his music and play a few songs from the album live. But before we get there, this is David Story with The Last Loon on the Lake from the new album, Coming Home.
In the bay, and I should fly away. I'm the last loon on the lake. Frost in the ground, and the leaves are all down. My friends all think I'm crazy, 'cause I like a frosty sunset. And they're all south drinking margaritas, hanging with Jimmy Buffett. And the sad boils beneath their wings, and the sun is a flame ball. And I'm up here drunk on Lakeport, waiting for the last leaf fall. I'm the last loon on the lake. Summer is gone and my friends have flown on. I'm the last loon on the lake. There's ice in the bay and I should fly away. I'm the last loon on the lake. Frost in the ground and the leaves are all down. Fortunes are made, fortunes are lost. The powerful come and go. The truth, ah yes, the truth, depends on who you know. This world's getting angry and loud. I can feel it slip away. Nice and quiet up here on my own. I think I'm gonna stay. I'm the last loon on the lake. Summer is gone and my friends have flown on. I'm the last loon on the lake. Ice in the bay and I should fly away. I'm the last loon on the lake. Frost in the ground and the leaves are all down. I'm the last loon on the lake.
That's David Story with Last Loon on the Lake from his new album, Coming Home. It was just released earlier this year. And David Story is our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. How are you doing today, David?
I'm good, Jan. How are you doing?
Great to have you join us in the studio. If I understand it right, you started off in music. You had quite a music career going, but then left it to get involved in video production, and I think you made videos for, what, Tom Cochran and for Stompin' Tom.
That's correct, yeah.
You also got involved in the creation of a very big and very popular TV comedy series, Corner Gas. You're
That's
one
correct.
Of the creators of that, with I imagine, with Brent Budd, is that
well,
right?
Well, Brent created the show, but I helped him develop the show.
Okay.
And then I was I directed most of the episodes and the feature film, and I was also an executive producer on the show as well.
Which is incredible, and you know, it's certainly one of my favorite shows.
Good.
It's fascinating, though, that you've actually left that behind somewhat to return to your music. We'll talk a little bit later about whether you'll actually get back more into the video field. But music is really your passion. Is that a reasonable thing to say?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the early days of David Story, then, you know, when you first started out.
Well, when I first started out playing music, I grew up in Woodbridge, which is not too far from here. It's north of Toronto, and I used to play in bands in around Woodbridge, and I played in a duo in high school with a young lady, and we had sort of a Sonny and Cher thing going on. And then later on, I played in country bands, sort of country rock bands at the time, doing mostly covers like Marshall Tucker and... you know, that sort of southern rock boogie stuff. And we played around north of Toronto. There was a big circuit then. There was the Bush Home and Aaron we used to play back in the day. And there was the Woodbridge Hotel. And there was a number of places, Loretta House, which I think is still there on, I think it's on Highway 50 or 27 or something. Anyways, there was Mother... I can't remember the name of it, Mother's something or other in Beaton. And it was funny because at the same time, there was another band playing that same circuit as us, and they were called the King City Slickers, and they eventually turned into Prairie Oyster. So we knew those guys, and we played around quite a bit in that. And then I kind of got tired of the sort of country scene, so I moved into the city and I started playing, I guess you would call it punk. We were dyeing our hair green and doing all kinds of weird things, punky new wave stuff. That would be the early 80s. And then I realized that wasn't for me either. I was still living in Toronto, and I started playing, I went back to more sort of singer-songwriter folky stuff. It was around the time of Suzanne Vega and Tracy Chapman were kind of in around that same time, and I went down to New York and was down there for not that long, maybe 4 or 5 months, and played, you know, folk city there. And there was a whole circuit down in New York, and then came back up to Toronto and started playing that same kind of stuff up here. And it went really well. But after a while, you know, a lot of my friends that were playing music, I knew some of the guys from Blue Rodeo, and they got a recording contract, and their career kind of took off. And I, although I was playing a lot of gigs, I had a family by that point. And, you know, I'd put out a few independent records and things. And the family, you know, I had two kids and I was married, and, you know, you got to make a decision, right? Do you want to be out playing bars, you know, six nights of the week and try to raise your family? And so I decided to try something different. I was very lucky in the fact that I started to direct at first low budget music videos, and then fairly quickly jumped right up to doing videos for Tom Cochran. As you mentioned, I did Life is a Highway and some other ones for him, and Stompin' Tom Connors. I did a bunch of music videos for Stompin' Tom, who also doesn't live too far from here.
Oh, didn't,
or
yeah,
used to
yeah, yeah,
live
yeah, yeah.
too far from here. He lives yeah. in... And then the rest kind of took off from there.
So then Corner Gas came along. You obviously were involved with that. Because how many years did that series actually run?
Corner Gas went for 6 seasons, 107 episodes. That was much later. I mean, I from the music videos, I did some commercial work, directing TV commercials for car companies and things like that. And then I started doing longer, like hour-long music specials for... I did an Anne Murray Christmas special, and I did a Corey Hart special and a bunch of stuff. I did the last season of the Rita McNeil show that she had on the air. And so I always kind of connected to music, but I was just playing for my kids. I wasn't playing for anybody. And I was still writing a little bit, but I wasn't getting out and playing. And I was mostly, my music life was as a director more than as an actual playing musician. So then I got the CBC came in and they wanted me. I did a music video for Stompin' Tom called Margot's Got the Cargo, which at the time was pretty famous and got a lot of airplay and a lot of notice. And it was a comedy video. And the CBC saw the video and they asked me to come in and direct a show for them called Comics. And every week they would have a different comic. And they basically said to, they were stand-up comics, and they said, you can do whatever you want in this half hour. We're giving you a half hour to do whatever you want. In that half hour, there has to be 5 to 10 minutes of stand-up, but the rest of it, you can do whatever you want. So everybody, all the comics wanted to do pilots for TV shows. And I worked with a lot of, you know, Mark Farrell, Brent Butt, Ron James, and Ron James and I created a thing called Blackfly, which was...
Oh, yeah, I remember that one, too. Yeah.
A half-hour comedy series. But we did the pilot on Comics, and then that took off. And we did 2 seasons of... I didn't produce that. I just directed it and created it with Ron James. And that lasted 2 seasons. And then I did a thing called The Sean Cullen Show, who's another comedian. And then I kind of got fed up with Toronto scene, and I packed the family in the car and we drove out and moved to Vancouver. And that's where I reacquainted myself with Brent Butt, and he told me the story of Corner Gas, and I took it in and pitched Brent and Corner Gas to CTV, and they liked it. So then Brent and I went in and did a formal pitch, and the rest is TV history.
So all through this period of time, though, you were still writing songs, but still playing, but it was always, you know, very much for family occasions, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it was more I wouldn't even say family occasions. I would say I was playing for my kids. That was about it, right? Yeah. And I didn't get out and play at all. And after Corner Gas finished, I did a show. I was living in Vancouver, and I did a show called Hiccups. And I had a place... in a little town called Pemberton, which is north of Whistler. And it's sort of the last town before you get into the wilderness. And it was a pretty wild and crazy town. And we finished shooting Hiccups. I went up to Pemberton and I started writing songs again. And all of a sudden, like 5 or 6 songs just popped out. I had some time. I was in between shows. And one day I went into Vancouver, and there was a place called the Wired Monk on 4th in Kitsilano, and I went into the Wired Monk's open mic one night. I was terrified. I was 58, I guess, years old at that time. And so, you know, you've built up a certain image of yourself, right? And to go in and do an open mic at 58 years old doing your own material, I was terrified. And so I went in and I did it, and there was maybe, I don't know, 10, 12, maybe 15 people in the audience, most of whom were musicians. But I got up and did it, and it was such an exhilarating experience to do that again. So I got hooked all over again. And then, so I started doing open mics for a couple of years, and I still do them occasionally, but mostly now people phone me up and they want me to play. You know, I've got this is my second album in the last 3 years. And people invite me to come and play now. So it's nice.
And it feels good to be back in music?
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, I was very lucky in the television career in that I was able to work on projects that I really wanted to work on and that I thought were very valuable and creatively were contributed to the Canadian cultural landscape, I guess you could say. And when that all ended after Corner Gas, although we did do the movie, but I was being offered a lot of stuff that was kind of, how can I say it without, that was generic, more generic and made for the world market, and was not the quality I didn't think. The writing and the performing wasn't as high as I would like it to have been, or wasn't saying what I would like it to say. So I turned a lot of stuff down. And now, you know, as a director, when you're working on set, you've got about 75 or 80 people following you around waiting for you to say, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Now it's great. It's just me and a guitar, and I can say what I want to say, and I can go play for people. And yeah, you know, when we did the movie, 7 million people watched the movie on TV, and it was the highest rated movie of all time. And when I go out to play gigs, usually there's maybe 25 or 30 people there. So it's a big difference that way, but it's I get to play my own tunes, and I feel like I'm contributing to the Canadian cultural landscape again, and as opposed to just sort of creating generic TV shows for an audience that I'm not sure who's watching.
So tell us a little bit about Coming Home. We started off with The Last Loon on the Lake, which is the first track on the album. It's a fabulous song. I love it because it obviously plays on the fact that it could just be a loon on the lake, but it's really like, it's the last person living on the lake at the end of the summer, this guy that hangs around? Is that the story here?
Yeah, well, I mean, the real story is my daughter brought me home. My daughter was working on a golf course out in the country, and she drove the beer cart and drove around and served people beer and sandwiches out on the golf course. And as she was driving around, she saw in one of the ponds, there was a goose or a bird on the pond. And when she got in the car, she said, "Dad, you should get in the, you know, you should write a song about the last bird." It's this was all taking place in early November. And she said, "The last bird in the up north before they've all gone south, and there's this one bird left." And I'm okay. So I went home, and as I want to do, I turned the TV to the hockey game, turned the sound down, and started playing the guitar, and came up with the guitar riff that you hear in the song. And then I started fiddling around, you know, the final finch and the ferns and the remaining, you know, wren and the reeds. I was trying to come up with, you know, the last goose in the gulch and drunk duck in the ditch. And then finally I came up with Last Loon on the Lake, and that's how it came about. But there is a guy that I was thinking about, David Conacher. He's a guy who lives up on Georgian Bay, and his family is very famous and very successful going back to the turn of the century. And he kind of turned his back on all that, and he had an old log cabin up there that he lived in. He's passed away a few years ago, but he grew his hair long and, you know, taught the First Nations kids on Christian Island, and just lived up there full time. And he had, you know, he could have probably had a successful career in the city, but he just decided not to do that. So when I sing the song, I kind of half think about David Conacher.
It's neat. I love the stories. You know, one of the nice things about this album is the fact there seems to be so quite clearly a bit of you in it. I don't know what percentage we'd have, but we got these wonderful stories about life transitions, and then also about these wonderful characters. But that song especially is a favorite.
Yeah.
Because of the way that it's very Canadian, you know, and the album does have quite a Canadian feel to it. Is that just something that comes from you? Obviously, we've just talked about the fact that you were involved in, you know, an iconic Canadian comedy series. Is that the sort of songs that really grab you, these stories that have that Canadian feel to them?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just what I know. You know, yeah. I mean, and that's what was so great about Corner Gas and even Blackfly was that they were kind of shows about what I know and what I feel comfortable with and the world that I know and that I feel proud to represent. And so I think the continuation of that, you know, all the things that we did in Blackfly and especially in Corner Gas continues on in this music. Now, it was Brent's show. He created the show, but, you know, I grew up in a small town as well. And, you know, we kind of developed the show together. And so I don't consciously try to make it Canadian. That's just kind of what comes out.
Yeah. You have a guitar with you. We have the opportunity for you to play some songs. Sure. I'd love it if you could play a song from the album.
Sure.
What would you like to play for us?
How about St. Adelaide?
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, yep. This is one of my favorite songs as well. Tell me a little bit about this song.
Well, my wife and I volunteered at an organization in Toronto that helps ex-cons reintegrate themselves into society. So basically she made a big dinner, and I helped her load the dinner into the car, drove it down. It was in the basement of a church. Which wasn't called St. Adelaide, but there is a St. Adelaide in Toronto, but Adelaide, I need to use that word to rhyme with. And we took the food down and we set it up, and then the ex-cons all came in, and was split. About half of them were female and half of them were male, which surprised me. And we had a big dinner together, and then we all sort of stood in a big circle with the pastor leading, holding hands and singing hymns. And then after that, we sat down and all the ex-cons kind of told their stories. And the one lady who was beside me, I won't get into her story, but at the end of it, she said, those who have been forgiven know a lot about love, which I thought was a very interesting thing for a person in her position to say, because there was a certain acceptance in that. And that kind of triggered this song. And we also mentioned that it was written during the Rob Ford days.
I kind of got that impression. There was a little bit of Rob Ford in there too.
Yeah. Yeah. Shall I play it?
Yep. This is St. Adelaide from David Story, and you're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
City Hall tonight. The mayor and the press are fighting for money, lies, pride. And you can hear the racket way out on the east side. There's kids running around with guns, death behind their eyes. But there's a candle burning in the church of St. Adelaide. The lost and sick have washed up, and they're looking for a break. They're holding hands and singing songs of love and hope and faith. Candles are burning in St. Adelaide. Money's all north of Bloor, and it ain't trickling down. The cabbies down in Parliament are just barely holding ground. Freeway is crumbling, and it's hard to get around. The shadows from those tall, dark towers stretch all over town. But there's a candle burning in the church of St. Adelaide. Lost and sick have washed up, and they're looking for a break. They're holding hands and singing songs of love and hope and faith. The candles are burning in St. Adelaide. Money sings and money laughs, and money wants it all. Money knows just where to land while we take the fall. So here we sit from different worlds, your body marked in ink. Me, I'm scrubbed and fed and uneasy, as I ask you what you think. Proud and sad, you look at me, voice soft as a dove. You say, those who have been forgiven know a lot about love. And there's a candle burning in the church of St. Adelaide. The lost and sick have washed up, and they're looking for a break. They're holding hands and singing songs of love and hope and faith. The candle's burning. The candle's burning. The candle's burning. In St. Adelaide.
That's David Story live on Folk Roots Radio today with St. Adelaide, and that's a song you'll find on his latest album. It's entitled Coming Home. If you want to get more information about David's music, check out his website at davidstorymusic.com.
That's yeah, great. Story with an E.
Story with an E, to make sure we get that in there. Great to have you join us in the studio. You know, one of the things that I love about your songs is the way you sing them. I mean, there's a great deal of passion comes through. That song especially, I think that is a cracking song. I love it because it's got a great story. There's obviously a topical side to it when you focus on, you know, our cities and perhaps the way that we're not spending enough time and energy on, you know, maintaining them and maintaining the quality of life for people, but also the whole St. Adelaide story in there as well.
Yeah, I just... I think, you know, a lot of people take stuff for granted and don't really see the big picture. And when you, you know, I also volunteer at OCI, the Ontario Correctional Institute. And so we go in once a month. We're called Folk on the Inside, this little band that we have. And we go in and we sit with the inmates there, and we sit on one side of the room and the inmates sit on the other side, and they have a guitar and they pass the guitar around and we sing a song and they sing a song. And then once we get warmed up, we kind of jam together with the inmates. And, you know, it's like you just get to see a different side of society and people, and get to see people and meet people and know people that are not in the sphere that I usually relate to. And I find I learn a lot from those people. And it's a great experience. And, it, you know, they've obviously committed some kind of a crime to be there. We're not allowed to ask, and they're not allowed to tell us what they've done. But, you know, for that 2 hours that we hang out with them, all of that is forgotten, and we're just people playing and singing and hanging out, and it's great.
That's great. You know, it's funny. Recently, I've heard a lot about people heading into correctional institutions, prisons, you know, youth at risk centers to try and make a difference. And I just think it's really wonderful that people are willing to spend the time, share their gifts, and again, gain something that enriches your life as well. That's wonderful to hear about that.
Yeah, and there I'll have to say there's a lot of great musicians that are locked up in the Ontario Correctional Institute. You know, there's some really good guitar players and singers, and I was really impressed with the level of talent that come out and play with us.
Yeah, well, hopefully that, you know, maybe this will help them as they move forward. Can we talk about your songwriting specifically? I always love to ask this question. Are you somebody that works on a melody first and then comes up with lyrics to fit that melody? Or are you somebody who, you know, perhaps might come up with a lyric and then decide to try and find a melody that works with it?
No, I usually come up with the chords that I like first and then kind of find a melody, see if I can find a melody that goes with the chords. And I mean, generally speaking, sometimes it goes differently. But generally speaking, I would say that I find some nice chords that feel good, and then I find a melody that goes with it. And then I have a whole, as I'm sure lots of other songwriters do, I have a whole raft of I think I've got 154 messages to myself on my cell phone with lyric ideas, and you know, then I write it down, and I just start going through those and seeing what's going to fit or what I feel passionate about at the moment, and to see if I can get those lyrics to fit that melody line and chord progression that I've put together.
Do you find it easy to come up with a song? I mean, is it something that, you know, comes very easily to you, or do you find that you have to really work on your song craft?
Well, I do work on it. I mean, I've been to, for a couple of seasons, to this thing called Song Studio in Toronto, which is run by a guy called Blair Packham. And he's a great songwriter, and he brings in, like, amazing songwriters. Like, I don't know if you know Dean McTaggart. He wrote a lot of stuff for Amanda Marshall, like big hits for Amanda Marshall, and kind of in the genre that I write in. And Lynn Miles came in one year, and she and I sat down and kind of had a session together where she helped me with the song on the album, I Can't Complain. So I wrote the song, but she was giving me, I played it for her, and she gave me some pointers of, why don't you do this, why don't you do that? So I find that's very useful and very helpful. And but it's finding the time. You know, right now I've just released this album, and I'm trying to get people to play it and trying to get it out there and get people to review it. So you find you spend half your time on the phone or emailing people saying, please play my record. And, you know, so far I've been very lucky. I mean, people such as yourself, and thank you very much, Jan. I appreciate you playing the record. Have been fairly open and good about playing it. So, but you have to work it.
You know, you brought up the subject of I Can't Complain, which is one of the songs I was kind of hoping you might like to play today. Can you play that one
first?
Sure,
yeah.
I'd love to hear that song. Tell us a little bit about it, because it's another song that tells a story. And, you know, I'm a big fan of story songs,
right. Especially,
dare I say, for those of us who might be getting a little older. It's kind of interesting because, you know, age comes to us all, and it always seems to come quickly.
Yes,
you know,
it
you
does.
Suddenly wonder where your youth went.
Yes.
So this is an interesting song, an interesting story. So why don't you tell that?
Well, I'm a little bit hesitant because a lot of people probably are going to hear it on this radio station because they all live in the area of where this. But okay, so I live in a small town called Inglewood, and it's a great little town, and it's got a lot of history. And I grew up in Woodbridge, which was a small town, and it also has a lot of history. And so I just, you know, Inglewood is in the Oak Ridges Moraine, and it's also in the escarpment, and it's also a world biosphere, and it's also in the town of Caledon, and so there's a lot of rules and regulations in Inglewood about what you can and cannot do there. Like I tried to build a shed in my backyard, and you know, I practically had to get a UN resolution to be able to do that. So it's sort of about small town life, and I don't want to get too specific because people might recognize themselves in this song. Part of it is about me and my experience, but it's also part of me looking out into the small town and seeing what other people are doing. And my, you know, I play hockey with a lot of the guys in town, and part of it is from that. And, you know, my kids grew up in town, and but I hope that universally it would resonate with people who live in small towns all around Canada and in the city too. I think it's really about being able to enjoy and appreciate the smaller things that you see. Like this, I love this time of year when the leaves start to change. It's a beautiful time of year, and I find it very comforting and inspirational. And you know, and sometimes you think, well, I've been doing all this work and nobody's playing my record, but you know what, it does. In the big picture, it doesn't really matter, because you walk outside and the leaves are changing and it's beautiful. And you know, when the winter comes, I like the winter as well. I mean, I know a lot of people don't, but it's a beautiful time of the year. It's not so beautiful if you're in downtown Toronto, but if you're up here and living outside in the country, it's fantastic. So I think sometimes if you can just kind of stop and look around and, I guess, smell the roses.
This is David Story with I Can't Complain. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall. Thank you.
Debbie drives the school bus. Lord knows we can use the cash. And me, I fix small engines out back in my garage. And I like the way the leaves turn in the fall. And I like fireworks on the long weekend. And I like a case of beer and hockey on TV. I can't complain. I won't sing a sad refrain. Cause sunshine follows rain and the world will turn again. I can't complain. I can't complain. Jimmy joined forces, said it's what he was born to do. They gave him a gun and sent him to the Middle East. We all love him, hope he gets home soon. And I like the colored lights of Christmas. And I like the way the snow drifts up against my shed. And I like the smell of wheat after it's been cut. I can't complain. I won't sing a sad refrain. Cause sunshine follows rain and the world will turn again. I can't complain. I can't complain. My granddad lost his leg in the first of the Great Wars. Never rode a dime, made an excuse. Me, I like to keep it simple. Don't let the world turn my head. I only take what I can. I like the way the leaves turn in the fall. And I like fireworks on the long weekend. And I like a case of beer and hockey on TV. I can't complain. I won't sing a sad refrain. Cause sunshine follows rain and the world will turn again. I can't complain. I can't complain. This is David Story, and you're listening to Folk Roots Radio on CFRU 93.3 FM.
That's David Story with I Can't Complain on Folk Roots Radio today from his wonderful new album, Coming Home. I love that song because that's exactly how I feel, because I don't like to complain about the weather. I don't like to, you know, pick favorites as to time of year. I really try and find something, you know, in every season, like you said, that, you know, you like about it. Mm-hmm. And living in, you know, in the country like this, it is really, that really speaks to me, you know. You get a real feel for, yeah, this is what life is like. And I think it's really healthy. You know, I've been spending a lot of time lately reflecting on life and trying to keep, you know, fairly mindful about everything. And this is a song that really speaks to the need to, you know, really appreciate what is.
Yeah, and you know, I find that you can get wrapped up in your own head and your own life and all the things that are going wrong. And, you know, really in the big picture, you're living a great life. You know, you just sometimes have to stop and look at it. And then that bridge about the, you know, my granddad did lose his leg or got shot in the leg in the First World War and had trouble with it throughout his life. But, you know, I feel sometimes that generation, you know, I mean, they weren't perfect by any means, but they had kind of a different attitude and a different way of looking at things. My parents' generation or my grandparents' generation than I know my generation or my kids' generation do.
I'd like to play a song from the album. And it's a song that when we were setting up this interview today, you mentioned that it's a song that actually probably is not getting as much exposure as you'd like. It's got a very interesting story and a lyric behind it. And that's the We Are the Greatest song, which there's a lot of humor in this. It tends to reflect on different aspects of life. We're going to play it from the album, but perhaps you can just talk about this song and the story behind it.
Sure. I grew up, as I said, in Woodbridge, and the song's about when I was a friend of mine and I, when we were about 10, 11 years old, and we used to, as I'm sure most young boys are, rabble rousers, and, you know, we would go around town, and, you know, at Halloween, we'd be up on the train trestle over the main street of Woodbridge, dropping pumpkins down onto the main street and, you know, creating a mess. And, you know, one time we backed up the sewer system in town, and that was a bit of a kerfuffle with everybody. And, you know, the local police officer, we used to call him Six Gun Gifford, he certainly knew who we were. And we never got into really serious trouble, but we were kind of rabble rousers. And so the song is about the two of us and all the trouble we got into. But when you're that age, you don't look at it that way. When you're that age, you think that you're the greatest and everything is possible and there's nothing that's going to get in your way. And then, you know, I don't want to spoil the song, but in the bridge section of the song, it kind of fast forwards to now where in our 60s and are older, and things are different. And so that's basically the gist of the song.
Let's play that now. This is David Story with We Are the Greatest from his new album, Coming Home. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Let's go down to Main Street and huck a goober off the bridge. Try to catch your sister skinny dipping out at Bear Ball Ridge. We'll light off some bottle rockets outside old man Thompson's door. Stick around just long enough to see his dentures hit the floor. Then we'll steal Mrs. Spencer's bra strap right off her clothesline and use it as a slingshot to hurl light bulbs at the sky. We are the greatest, my buddy and me. We are the greatest, the best you'll ever see. Jackknife, carve a hole into my thumbs. Our blood will run together as brothers will be one. And we'll bury that skull and crossbones that you won down at the fair. And I'll take my silver dollar and I'll throw it in there. And then when we're 60, we'll meet here once again. Dig them up, 'cause they'll be worth a fortune by then. We are the greatest, my buddy and me. We are the greatest, the best you'll ever see.
slowly the older you get. I hear the cancer's got you and you're counting the days left. You got your wife and your kids by your side. Remember our blood, 'cause I'm thinking about you tonight. We are the greatest, my buddy. We are the greatest, the best you'll ever see. We are the greatest, my buddy and me. We are the greatest, the best you'll ever see. We are the greatest, my buddy and me. We are the greatest, the best you'll ever see. My buddy and me, we are the greatest, the best you'll ever see. We are the greatest, my buddy and me. We are the greatest, the best you'll ever see.
That's David Story with We Are the Greatest from his new album, Coming Home. He's our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. Tell us a little bit about the people that play on this album, because that song in particular has a lot of people involved.
Well, I was really lucky. I mean, I knew I wanted to do an album. I'd done a sort of an EP, almost an album, on my own, strictly myself, an acoustic guitar, and recorded it in Toronto. And I was looking for... I actually talked to a number of different people, some fairly well-known producers, about doing this album. And basically, they were too busy or too expensive because I was paying for it on my own dime, and I didn't really have that much money. And I read a newspaper in the local, an article in the local magazine called The Hills, and there was a whole article about this guy, Daryl Neuerdorf, who has a studio in a barn on Highway 10 north of Orangeville. That he's built in there, and he's recorded a lot of great stuff there. Nico Case and some Blue Rodeo stuff, I think, was recorded in there, and as well as a ton of other things. So I phoned him up, paid a visit, and he said, yeah, let's do it. And so we worked out a favorable deal, and we were going to co-produce it, which I thought was great. So he engineered and produced, and I sort of wrote the songs and produced. And it's a great atmosphere in there, much like this room that we're in right now, a lot of wood. And, you know, he certainly knows his business about producing. And it's in this beautiful location inside a barn out in the on a farm. And so as we were kind of putting the songs together, we talked about how we're going to approach it and what kind of sound do we want to have. And I said, well, you know, I like bluegrass. So we said, well, I just happen to have... recorded this fantastic bluegrass band called Traditionally Wound. A lot of members live around Orangeville, which is near where his studio is. And why don't we get those guys into play? So sure enough, Nick and who plays mandolin, and which is very upfront in the mix, and the fiddle player and the bass player Sheldon came. And like, really, it was... We did it in like those three songs, I think, in like an afternoon. So, and they had never heard the songs before. So I sat down and played them the songs, and then we just kind of just did it. And it turned out really well. And they were fantastic. So there was that kind of acoustic bluegrassy sound to the album. There's no banjo in there, but there's mandolin, fiddle, and a bass. And then we had a great drummer, Stefan, he's from Ottawa. And so there's that side to the album. And then I also wanted to get kind of more of a contemporary, I don't want to say country rock. It's not really rocky. It's sort of more of a contemporary sound. So on songs like St. Adelaide and I Can't Complain, and one I did called, that was probably my favorite song in the album, called Sea to Sky, We brought in some great musicians. So we had Basil Donovan, who plays bass for Blue Rodeo, and who I actually knew Basil from way back in the day when I used to play in the 80s. And he also, Daryl, who was producing, knew Basil because he had done some stuff with Blue Rodeo. We brought in Anne Lindsay, who's a fantastic violin player and played on two of my tunes. She was great, very accommodating. I wanted her to, she didn't know I was going to ask her to sing.
Yeah, I thought she does backing vocals as well on.
She does, yeah. She does background vocals, and she didn't know I was going to ask her that. And she went, sure, okay, I'll sing. So she was fantastic. I had a great time with her. And what else did we have? Oh, and then I had two friends that I jam around with in Toronto, Bruce Adamson and Laurie Ingalls. And they're both, they play in a bunch. Laurie plays with like about 50 different people, and so does Bruce, and they're both fantastic musicians. And they came in and play keyboards and electric guitar.
So it sounds like quite a party, I think, particularly on the end of that song, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was with that kind of we got everybody who came in to sing on at the end to sing We Are the Greatest at the end. And so although we all weren't the basically the bass of that track was myself and the bluegrass band Traditionally Wound. And we all kind of sang at the end and clapped. And then when Basil came in and all the other band came in and they all just sang and then kind of got caught up in the atmosphere.
You know, it must be great fun making an album. Maybe one day I need to be in the studio when people... I know it's going to be a long time, but there is really a strong community spirit, camaraderie around these things. I mean, some of the... You know, you hear the stories of, you know, in the days, you know, when the Stones and the Beatles and, you know, some of those great, dare I say, 70s bands were, you know, making albums and, you know, they would just be in the studio, you know, not leaving for the whole time they were there, particularly if they were working with a really creative producer that had this vision, you know, to bring the music out. But it must be lots of fun.
Yeah, it's I had a great time. It was a lot of fun. And that's half the reason to do it, you know. I mean, the music industry is so different today from where it was, say, back in the 70s or 60s, 70s, and even the 80s and 90s. And so I think, you know, your expectations have to be a little tempered, shall we say. And I'm having a lot of fun. You know, I've been lucky. I've been selling some albums and getting some radio airplay, and I'm doing less open mics, and people are actually, you know, I'm getting the door on gigs, and people are actually coming out to see. And so I am making some money from it, but it's not something that, you know, back in the day where you...
Well, we're enjoying having you with us today. We have a guitar, so let's get you to play again. Now, another one of my favorite songs on this album is Krusty.
Right, yes.
Tell us a little bit about that song.
Well, this is a sad story, but about a year ago, I discovered that I had cancer. I had prostate cancer, and so that's a bit of a shock. And you know, for anybody that's had cancer, you know, you have to go through the whole process of where is it and how bad is it and is it going to spread and all those kinds of things. And the first doctor I went to, the prognosis was not good. And he said that there was going to have to be major surgery and I would be, I don't want to get into the gory details, but my life would change a lot. Yeah. It would change a lot. And I thought, wow, you know, that's kind of a snowball to the face. And but fortunately I researched it a bit and I found out about another doctor who has a different procedure, which is totally legal in Canada and supported in Canada. And the doctor is the head of the urology at Sunnybrook Hospital. So he's a reputable guy, but this is kind of a new procedure. Basically, they go in and burn the cancer out is what they do. So rather than having to take all kinds of medicines or having radical surgery, he went in and burnt the cancer out. So far, it was a bit of a recovery, and but this song kind of got me through it all.
Expectations in check. Anything can
a life behind me than I do up ahead. I know I'm a blue-eyed hero, but I got no regrets, yeah. Well, I'm crusty and I'm tough, and I refuse to die. Gonna stare this crazy old world straight in the eye, in the eye. Some say Jesus will save me. In his spirit I must dwell. Jesus only saves the ones that save themselves. The river's still rising, the sky is low and gray. Here on the horizon, take it day by day. Well, I'm crusty and I'm chuff, and I refuse to die. Gonna stare this crazy old world straight in the eye, in the eye. Expectations in check. Anything can happen, and we ain't home yet. I got more a lot behind me than I do up ahead. I know one's a blue-eyed hero, but I got no regrets, yeah. Well, I'm crusty and I'm chuff, and I refuse to die. Gonna stare this crazy old world straight in the eye, in the eye. Yeah.
That's David Story with Krusty live in the Folk Roots Radio studio from the album Coming Home, which is his latest album. And David is our special guest on the show today. We've been chatting about his music. Tell us a little bit about playing live. You mentioned that you are looking for opportunities to play live. Is that usually as a solo performer? Do you play with others, or is it typically playing your songs as a solo singer-songwriter?
Yeah, I play sometimes a guy, there's a keyboard player out there called Laurie Ingalls, and I play together. But most of the time I find I played a lot in bands when I was younger. And, you know, when you're sort of the main singer-songwriter, you're looked to be kind of responsible and organize everybody and get it all together, make it all happen. And musicians are great people, but sometimes, you know, it's just easier. Now I just show up with my guitar and I plug it in and I play my songs and I unplug and I go home. And I just find it a lot easier and less stressful. And, you know, I don't have to pick anybody up or drive anybody anywhere or, you know, help break down the drums. And maybe someday I will. But right now I really like just playing by myself, playing solo. And, you know, I did a house concert on Saturday night, and it was great. There was about 30 people and packed into somebody's living room. And I played, you know, for about an hour and 10 minutes or so. And it was great. They really appreciated it. It was just me and my guitar. And, you know, you have to kind of, when you're putting your set list together, you have to kind of change, you know, make sure that you're not repeating yourself for songs that may sound similar. You know, you try and mix it up a bit. And it's a bit tough because I do all my own material. So for the most part, you have to have the material to be able to do it. And, you know, for every song that you ends up getting sung or put on a record or that you actually perform, there's probably five or six songs that are left in the garbage pail somewhere. So it's a lot of work.
Do you ever play any of those songs you wrote in the 80s?
I do. I could play one for you now if you'd like.
I'd love that, yeah.
Yeah. This is a song that got a lot of airplay on Much Music back in the 80s, and this is a completely different style than what I've just been playing. I did a music video for it, and the music video was on heavy rotation on Much Music. Excuse me while I just tune a bit here. And it was played a lot on college radio. I was a lot younger then, so I could get played on college radio. And it was a bit of a hit, I'd say. There was some guys, there was a band in the 80s called Blue Peter, and they came in and kind of backed me up on it. And the producer was a guy called Declan O'Doherty. I don't know if you know Declan O'Doherty. He's done a lot. He did Rita McNeil. He did a ton of stuff back in the 80s. And he's still working now, but he does a lot of mostly Celtic stuff. There we go. Sorry, this is called She's My Girl from the 1980s. So whip out your big shoulder jackets, put on a little rouge, and muss your hair up.
You don't see her, you don't need her, just the way that I do. You don't move her, you don't hear her, just the way that I do. You don't hold her, you don't touch her, just the way that I do. She's my girl. She's my girl. She's my girl. You don't need her. Don't you need her? Don't you see her just the way that you do? Don't you move her? Don't you hear her just the way that you do? Don't you hold her? Don't you touch her just the way that you do? She's my girl. She's my girl. She's my girl. You don't need her. You don't see her, you don't need her, just the way that I do. Don't you hold her, don't you touch her, just the way that you do. She's my girl. She's my girl. She's my girl. You don't need her.
That's David Story. I was going to say direct from the 1980s with She's My Girl. It has a very 80s feel to it.
I know, it does. Well, if you go, if you go to my, I've got a YouTube channel, and on the YouTube channel is that video from the 1980s of me playing that song. I was in a band at that point. I had some playing with some pretty good musicians. So you can see that, and it'll be a flashback for those of you a certain vintage.
Well, that was good. I really enjoyed the way you were getting into that on Folk Roots Radio today. What does the future hold? Obviously, you've got the new album out, looking for opportunities to get out and play it. More live shows. Will you be doing any more TV in the future? I mean, is that really project-based? If somebody comes to you with something that really appeals, you might decide to get back into, directing TV again?
We have I guess I'm not letting the cat out of the bag too much, but there is a new Corner Gas project that's in the works. It's not a feature film. It's going back to the television. I guess you could call it a spin-off, but all the cast would be back if it happens. The same cast. But it's a bit of a spin-off, something a little bit different. I don't want to get into too much of the details because we're in what they call phase two development right now. So, I mean, we're working on it. We've written a pilot script and, it could be really good. So, but we don't have a green light and we don't, you know, as I say, we're in the development phase and it could all fall apart tomorrow. Yeah. So, for those Corner Gas fans out there, there could be something coming along in the next couple of years, and I would definitely be involved in that. But at this point, I'm playing a lot of music. Like I'm probably playing, you know, twice a week out somewhere, usually with a group of other people where I'm playing with two or three other acts in a show or my own show. So I'm going to continue doing that, and I'm writing songs for a new album now. So I'm hopefully going to be doing a new album. That won't happen for another couple of years, but I've probably got maybe half the album written. So,
well, that's exciting. Well, it sounds like you have lots of things to look forward to. Obviously, a little bit of a treat for those people who do love Corner Gas to hear that it may come back in a form later on. It's been a great pleasure to have you join us today. If people want to learn more about your music, is the best place the website?
Yes. DavidStoryMusic.com, and Story has an E in it. Or if they go to just David Story and YouTube, there's a bunch of videos there that I've just done recently. I did... You played Last Loon on the Lake at the beginning of the show, and there's, I think, a pretty good video for Last Loon on the Lake there, and some other videos as well. So,
that's great. I'd like to play I'm Coming Home to finish the show today. Can you tell us about that song?
Yeah, that was... I was away from home, obviously, all those years doing Corner Gas, and, you know, I had a family and kids, and they used to come out and stay with me in the summers when we were shooting Corner Gas. And so, but I was away quite a bit, and because they initially moved out to Vancouver with me for about 2 years, then they moved back to Ontario, but I had to stay out there to work. So when it was all done, I packed it all up and came home, and that was what this song was about. I'd been away for a while, and although I was coming back regularly and they were coming to visit me regularly, it was like, I'm leaving Vancouver, I'm coming back to Ontario, and here I am. And it also, in an extension, it is a bit about the music as well. I've been away from music for a long time and playing live anyways. And then, so it was kind of, here I am coming back. Playing music, and it did. It really felt like home, and the musical community is a fantastic community. And, you know, most of the people that I knew were either super, you know, successful in music, or they'd moved on and done other things. So it was interesting reconnecting with those people and meeting all the new people such as yourself.
That's great, David. It's been a great pleasure having you on the show today. This is David Story with I'm Coming Home from his new album, Coming Home, and you've been listening to Folk Roots Radio. And I'm Jan Hall. Thanks again.
Thank you, Jan.
All my battles are done. Some I've lost and some I've won. Climb the mountain and touch the sky. Sat in the shadows as people passed me by. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. You.
where all the monsters be. Felt the heat of the dragon flame boil my blood and curse my name. Now I'm coming home. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Skin and bone and blood and heat, tough and cool and soft and sweet. These things I lay at your feet, hoping you remember me, 'cause I'm coming.